Today's shiur is Masechet Megillah Daf Chaf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, the second wide line, Tana Rabbanim. In the previous shiur we had discussed about bowing down on the floor. Specifically, the Torah tells us that we're not allowed to bow down to Eved Maskus, like Sitnu Ba'artzichem. We're not allowed to bow down on a stone floor. So now the Gemara continues to discuss the different ways people bow down. Tarabonim, Kida alapayim. Kida, when we see in the Pasuk, Kida, it means that the face, falling down on the face. As the Rishonim explained, that the person from a standing position goes straight down to on his face, not using his hands to support himself, and getting up, also not using his hands to support himself, just getting up using his legs for support. Shenemar, how do we know that is what Kida is? Because the Pasuk says, V'tikoy b'sheva paim aretz. Kriya, when the Pasuk says Kriya, it refers to al-Berkayim, kneeling on the knees. V'keno oimer, mechroya al-Berachav. Hishtachava, when the Pasuk uses hashtachava, it means zupishosh idayim reglayim, completely flat, prostrating oneself on the floor. Shenemar, Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, "Havoi nova ani v'imcha v'achecho l'shtachavois l'cha arza, flat on the arts." And like Taisha says, there are actually different psukim that we could prove these definitions from. These are just some of the ways of understanding these psukim. Says the Gemara, "Levi ach v'kida kamei the Rebbe." Levi gave a demonstration on how to do kida in front of Rebbe for itla. And he became lame, because as we explained earlier, doing kida is quite difficult. Just going flat down without using your hands, and getting up without using your hands for support. And he, Taka, wasn't successful, and he became damaged, became wounded from that. Ask the Gemara of Har Gamale, is that what made Levi lame? A person has to be careful and not speak too strong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shei Adam God L'tiach Dvarim Klapi Mala. There was one person who did that, Vitla Umanu, who was a Levi. As the Gemara in Masechta Tainus, we remember, says that there was once a drought, and Levi said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alisa Lamaram, you're up in Shemayim, Ve'ein Atam Mashgiach Al Benecha, you're not paying attention to your children. So here we see that was the reason that he was punished, not because he couldn't do Kida properly. Answers the Gemara, Hava Ha Garmalei. So as the Rishonim explain, doing Kida is somewhat of a difficult feat. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Siyat D'Shmaya, even when we do sometimes things that are difficult, we're successful. That Siyat D'Shmaya that Levi usually had, he wasn't Zoicha, he didn't have this time because of the way he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Darach Lener explains it homiletically. The way he explains it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyochel looks at us with a ponim, with his face. Sometimes it's with a good ponim, Yor Hashem ponim v'alecha, v'chunecha. And sometimes it's v'samta in his ponim v'shahu, it's a bad face. Levi, what does falling kida mean? You fall on your face. That you're recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face looks at us. If you don't act properly towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not going to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's panim toivos, his good face, look at you. It'll be the other way. Says the Gemara, Ar Rav Chiya bar Oven, Chazinu l'Abaye v'Rava, I saw Rabbi and Rava, that when they fell, the matzlet tzlui, they used to fall on the side. So it's machloikis rishonim to understand what the purpose of falling on the side is. Some rishonim explain that as we've been learning, you're not allowed to fall on a stone floor. But if, when you fall on the stone floor, you don't fall flat, you fall on the side, it's permissible. Others explain that it goes back to the Gemara we learned yesterday, that ein adam chashuv rishoy lipa lapadov, adam chashuv is not allowed to fall on his face, unless he could be sure that he's going to be answered. Says the Gemara, when is that, Isser? When you're falling flat, But if you're falling on the side, then it's not an issue. And that's why the minig is, the aloch is, that it, once, twice a year, we fall on shul on the floor. That's on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that's why we're careful that when we fall on the floor, we shouldn't fall straight, especially if there's a stoned floor in the shul. We put something in between ourselves and the floor that it should be an issue of Evan Atmaskis. I saw an interesting vart. The Rama says that what do we put on the floor? Nahagim l'shtoich asovim. They put grass on the floor. That's what it says to prevent one from falling straight on the floor by Rosh Hashanah and by Yom Kippur. Why the Mefarshim say strictly grass? So the answer I saw is there's another time in the year that we put on grass on the floor. The Shulchan Aruch says Shavuos, to remember Har Sinai. When was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai? So we discussed he came down with the Luchos Shniyos on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is a day that has relationship with Har Sinai. Asavim, grass, reminds us of Har Sinai. That's why grass is what we put on the floor on Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur when we're falling on the floor to remember those Asavim from Har Sinai. Continues the Gemara. B'yantav Chamisha, B'yom Kippurim Shisha. We learned that Yantav we call five people to the Torah, and Yom Kippur we call six people to the Torah. Says the Gemara, Masnisim Mani, who is the Tanav Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Shmuel, Lo Rabbi Kiva. It's not Rabbi Shmuel, not Rabbi Kiva. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, B'yom Tov, on Yantav, we have five people getting Aliyahs, Chamisha. B'yom Kippurim, we have Shisha, six people. V'Shavis, we have Shiva, seven people. Ein Poich Simehen, Vei Masif Malayim. We can't have less than this, and we can't have more. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, B'yantav Chamisha, on Yantav we have five people. Yom Kippurim we have Shiva, seven. V'Sheva Shabbos Sheisha, on Shabbos we have six people getting Aliyahs. Ein Poich Simehen, not less, Ava Masif Malayim. So ask the Gemara, Mani, who will our Tan Mishnah come out? Ir Rabbi Shmuel, we can't have our Mishnah, doesn't agree with Rabbi Shmuel, Kasha Tosefes, because our Mishnah says we can add Aliyahs, and Rabbi Shmuel says you can't add Aliyahs. Ir Rabbi Kiva, Kasha Shisha V'Shiva. According to our Mishnah, on Yom Kippur there are six people getting Aliyahs, and Shabbos seven, and according to Bekiva it's just the opposite. On Yom Kippur it's seven, and on Shabbos it's six. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Rava, Tanit Berev Shmuel Hi. It goes according to Tanit Berev Shmuel. The Tanit Berev Shmuel, B'yontav Chamisha, B'yom Kippurim Shisha, B'Shabbos Shiva, the same number as our Mishnah. But here it says, Ein Pachsman, you can't have less. Av Masifin Alayim, we can't have more. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So our Mishnah is exactly what Rabbi Shmuel just said. However, ask the Gemara, Kasha Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel. We have a stira, we have a contradiction what Rabbi Shmuel says. Here Rabbi Shmuel says that we can add Aliyahs. In our Brice that we quoted on top of the Amid, Rabbi Shmuel says he cannot add. Answers the Gemara, Trei Tanoi Aliyah Rabbi Shmuel. There's Machloikas Tanoim, what Rabbi Shmuel held regarding adding Aliyahs. The Brice says it's not. This Shita says he says it's permissible. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana Lahad Tanya. Who is the Tana of the following Brisa? B'yontif, a yontif, ma'achron lovoi, we start davening late, or maharim lotzis, and we should end davening as quickly as possible. Why do we start davening late? So Rishonim explain, since yontif, oichel nefesh, we're allowed to prepare meals, so we start davening late in order to be able to have time to prepare the yontif meal on yontif in the morning. So the Yaivitz asks, who comes to shul? Men. Who does the cooking? The women. So why should they start shul late? The men aren't cooking. So the Yaivet says, important, he says a man is supposed to help. He is supposed to help his wife. Or if he can't help in the kitchen, he should help with the children. And that's why they start davening late on Yontif, that the men should be able to be at home while the wife could be able to finish preparing the Yontif meal. B'Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippur, Maharim Lovai, we start davening early, there's no food, there's nothing to prepare, or Maharim Letzes, and we daven all day long. B'Shabbos, Maharim Lovai, on Shabbos we start davening early, because there's no meal to prepare, so there's no reason that we have to be home preparing a meal, or Maharim Letzes. We leave quickly, because there is an issue of Einik Shabbos, that we have to eat a suud on Shabbos, and that's why he finished davening Maharim Lotzeis. So Mepharshim say that here it says the Maharim Lovai, that on Shabbos we start davening early. The Ramah says that on Shabbos we start davening late, that we daven later on Shabbos than we do the week. What's the Ramah going to do with this Gemara? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that the Gemara here is not referring to Shabbos morning. The Gemara here is referring to Friday night. That even Friday night, let's say you're a person that's makbid, that's careful to daven Ma'ariv only after the tzeis, when it's certainly night, Friday night you could daven earlier to make Shabbos earlier, Maharim Lavoi, to make Shabbos come as early as possible. However, the Mishnah Berurah does say, the Lechatchila, if one is going to daven Ma'ariv before tzeis, after the plague, Lechatchila should daven mincha before the plague. The Mishnah Berurah also says that if one is davening Ma'ariv early, he has to be careful to say over Krishma, if he said Krishma before night, and he in fact says that Lechaira, if somebody comes home from shul and it's already within a half an hour of this man Krishma, he's not supposed to start a meal. There are those that make those that are lenient if you have somebody remind you that you have to repeat Krishma. There's also another shita that some pious can quote. Let's say you daven early. It comes in the summer. People daven early and they start the meal early. That the pious can say that at least a kazayas of the Friday night meal should be eaten when it's already after dark. That when it's really Shabbos. But most mepharshim explain this gemara, Maharim Lavoi, that we start davening Shabbos early. The Ramah says we don't daven Shabbos early. So they say it's comparable to Yom Tov. Maharim Lavoi, we daven earlier than we do on Yom Tov, but not as early as we daven all week, if you daven early during the week. What's the reason that we daven later on Shabbos? So the Beis Yosef says a nice remez from the Torah. He says, during the week, the Torah, when it speaks about the Karbonos, it says, Babayka, Babayka, bring the carbon right in the morning. On Shabbos, the Pasuk says, Ubiyoyma Shabbos. So we see that the carbon brought on Shabbos wasn't in Babayka, they didn't start as early. So ask the Gemara, should we say that this Brice, the Lamer Bekiva, this Legabri Yisera, it's a Bekiva that says that we have more people getting Aliyahs on Shabbos than on Yom Tov, and that's why he's the one that says we should start davening early on Shabbos, because he's the one that says we have seven aliyahs on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, I feel Rabbi Shmuel. Even Rabbi Shmuel that says that on Shabbos we only have six aliyahs, still we start davening earlier on Yom Kippur than on Shabbos. I have more aliyahs on Shabbos than on Yom Kippur. The nafesh seduri de yoyma. There's a long tefillah, even if the lightning is shorter, but there's nila and there's a lot of davening, that's why we have to start davening in Yom Kippur earlier than any other time. Ask the Gemara, Hani Shloisha Chamisha V'Shiva. We have three people getting aliyahs, five people getting aliyahs, seven people getting aliyahs during the week three, Yom Tov five, Shabbos seven, Kenegin Mi, what do they correspond to? So Tosef says, why doesn't the Gemara ask, what about that we discussed, then Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, four people get aliyahs? Says Tosef, that on Rosh Chodesh Chol Hamoed, four people get aliyahs makes a lot of sense. Because since these are days that have a Korban Musaf, how do we commemorate that there was a Korban Musaf? By giving an extra aliyah. The question is the other days. What do these numbers mean? Pligibar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Nachmanin v'chadi imei, umani Rav Shimon Pazi, v'amla Rav Shimon Pazi v'chadi imei, umani Rabbi Yitzchak ben Nachmini, v'amla Rav Shmuel ben Nachmini, char ome kenega Birkus Kahanim. In Birkus Kahanim, there are three psukim. That's why Monday, Thursday, Shabbos afternoon, we have three aliyahs. And like the Mepharshim explained, what's the message we're trying to send? The message we're trying to send is that if somebody connects himself to the Torah, that's what Kriyas HaTorah is all about, that he will become Zoicha to all the brachas of Kahanim, or the Birkus Kahanim. V'chad Amar, Keneged Shloisha Shomrei Sof. We find that there were three watchmen over the Azara, that's why we have three aliyahs. Chamisha, what are the five aliyahs? Meroy Pnei Melech. The Pasuk discusses that the king had five confidants. Shiva, Roy Pnei Melech. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, who does that mean? Rashi says it refers to the Megillah, that it says Achashverosh had seven advisors. Tosfos says it's difficult to believe that we read the Torah to commemorate the advisors of Achashverosh. Therefore, he explains that it's referring that the Pasuk speaks about in Yirmiyah and in Malachim that Jewish kings had seven advisors. That's what the seven represents. Tana Rabbi Yosef, Gimel, Chamisha, V'Shiva, what is the 3, 5, and 7? Shloisha, the Shemri Asaf, Chamisha, the Meroi Pnei HaMelech, and Shiva, the Roi Pnei HaMelech. Says the Gemara, Amo Abaya, so Abaya asked Rabbi Yosef, after he offered this explanation for the amount of people who get aliyahs, he asked him, Ah Idna, my Tamil Parish Lamar, why didn't you ever explain till today the basis for the amount these people getting, these number of people getting aliyahs? Amalai, well, have you done it? I never knew that you wanted. If you would have told me that you don't know the explanation, I would have gladly told it to you. And as Mefarshim explained, this is the concept of loy habay shalamed. You're not supposed to be embarrassed to ask. If you didn't know something, Rabbi Yosef said, you should have asked, and I would have told you and taught you. Because of me be isim and I milsi, did you ever ask me something for loyam alechu, and I didn't tell you the explanation? The Beis Yosef says another reason why on Shabbos we have seven people getting aliyahs. It's a concept that we've spoken about here already. He says that really a person is supposed to learn Torah every day. But what happens is people are busy and they don't necessarily have an opportunity to learn Torah every day. So they have an excuse. They're busy, they're working, they're whatever. But it comes Shabbos, they have no excuse. So on Shabbos, we have seven aliyahs representing the 7 days of the week to say that Shabbos, now that I have opportunity to learn, I'm going to make up all the learning I missed. Says the Gemara, Amalei Yaakov Minah. Taisa says the word Minah is somewhat of a difficult word. Minah means an apikiris. Are we going to quote an apikiris? So Taisa says that his name was not Yaakov Minah, his name was Yaakov Mitzah, not Minah. Others say his name was Yaakov Minah, but not because Chas V'Sholem he was an apikiris. The Gemara would never quote an apikiris. It's because he came from the city of Minah. Rabbi Yehuda, Hani Shish the Yom Kippurim. These six people will get aliyahs in Yom Kippur. We've explained everybody getting aliyahs, but we haven't identified why six people are called up to the Torah in Yom Kippur. Keneged me, Amalei, he expanded. Keneged Shish Ando. We find six people standing to the right of Ezra, the Shishim Smalai, and six people standing to his left. Shinema, V'yamad Ezra Soifa Amigdal Eitz Asha Oso Ladaber. He stood on a platform on wood platform. V'yamad Etzloi Matasyah V'shama V'aniya V'uriya V'chilkiya U'masya Aliminoi. These six people stood on his right. U'masmalai, and to his left stood Padya Mishol U'malki V'choshim the Chavzdana Zacharyim Mishulam. Ask the Gemara, Hanisheva Hava. If you count the amount of people who are on the left, there are seven people, not six. Answers the Gemara, Hain Zacharya Hain Mishulam. Zacharya Mishulam are one and the same person. Vamaikar Mishulam. Why was Zacharya called Mishulam? The Mishulam Ba'avdei. He was perfect. He did everything he was supposed to do. And the Mashal says a beautiful raya. He says, if we look at all the other names that are mentioned in this pasuk, before each name there's a vav, except by the name of Meshulam and Zechariah. There's no vav separating them, indicating that Zechariah and Meshulam are really one and the same individual. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabban, Hakol Oyel Minyan Shiva, everybody can get an aliyah, I feel a cotton, even a cotton, I feel Isha. Av Om Chachamim, Chazal said, Isha Lo Tikra B'Taira, we should not give a woman the opportunity to get an aliyah or read from the Torah, and they kfait seber. What pshat kfait seber? Two pshatim. One pshat is it's not respectful that the woman will come into the men's shul, to the ezras of the men, where the men sit, to lain. Or another pshat is it's disrespectful that we have no one in our shul that can read, that we have to rely on someone else. The Yaivitz asks, if the halacha is that a woman should not get an aliyah, so why did the Gemara begin saying that they do get an aliyah? The Gemara says first they get an aliyah and then says don't give it to them.
if they're not supposed to get, they're not supposed to get. Don't say it the other way. So Yaivet says a chiddush. The Yaivet says that what the Gemara is teaching us says that a woman shouldn't read, and a woman shouldn't get an aliyah. But if there is no other option, says the Yaivet, the Gemara is telling us then we could perhaps allow a woman to get an aliyah, or perhaps allow a woman to read from the Torah. There's a very big, there are a lot of machloikas rishonim in how to understand this Gemara. Some rishonim say, the Gemara says, hakol oil l'minyan shiva, that the only consideration under the table when we can allow these people to get aliyahs is only on Shabbos when there's seven people getting aliyahs. But during the week, or we only have three people getting aliyahs, they're for sure they're not qualified to get aliyahs. The Rambam says that always the first three aliyahs have to be given to a man who's a gadol. Afterwards, we could start discussing if other people are qualified. The Miri is a little more lenient. The Miri says the first aliyah has to be always a man who's a gadol. Then we could start discussing. Again, the Mishnah Berurah says our minhag is that women never get aliyahs, and children only get haftarah, and also not the haftarah parashas Zachar, or Parshas Parah. Parshas Zachar is a deraisa, and Parshas Parah may be a deraisa. Mishnah Berurah also says the Shabbos Shuvah, we give the haftarah to the Rav. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim. There's a famous machloikis between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. It's really a machloikis between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. If women to make a bracha on a mitzvah sasei man grama, we know that women are exempt from mitzvah sasei man grama. So if a woman is doing a mitzvah sasei man grama, does she make a bracha? For example, if a woman takes the lulav, if a woman sits in the sukkah, does she make a bracha or not? Shulchan Aruch says not. It's the Rambam Shita. The Ramah says that they may. The Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Says the Rabbeinu Tam, isn't our Gemara a raya to his position? Because here we're saying a woman can get an aliyah. Women are putter from Talmud Torah. So if they're putter from Talmud Torah, how could they get an aliyah? How could they make Birchas HaTorah? It must be that even if a woman's not obligated, she could still make a bracha. But the Rishonim say that this is not really such a conclusive proof. Why? So I saw three explanations. One is, women are somewhat related to Birchas HaTorah. They're obligated to learn. They maybe don't have to learn like men learn, but they have to know what to do, what mitzvahs to do, what's an Aveira. So what they have to know. So therefore, they do have a relationship to Talmud Torah. Another pshat is that the bracha that we make when we get an aliyah, although it's the same bracha that we make for Birchas HaTorah, is not really the same concept. And there's a push to raya to that. Because the halacha is that let's say somebody gets up and makes Birchas HaTorah, walks into shul 5 minutes later and gets an aliyah. He just made Birchas HaTorah 5 minutes ago. He still has to make a bracha again. If it's the same bracha, what are you making the exact same bracha? So we see that even though it's the exact same words, it's not the same bracha. And a third pshat that I saw is our Gemara, go back to what we spoke about yesterday, our Gemara is referring to the time that only the first person made a bracha before he got an aliyah, and the last person who got an aliyah made a bracha after finishing the reading. No brachas in the middle. So here we're referring to those times. So the woman taka gets one of the middle aliyahs, but there's no bracha made, so we don't have a proof that a woman can make a Birchas HaTorah. Iboiluhu, ask the Gemara. Mafter, the person who got mafter, which we know is, they started, we spoke about the concept of haftarah when they weren't allowed to read from the Torah, and they kept it, but we're going to see that they also read from the Torah, besides reading from Navi. Ma'ash Yal Minyan Shiva. Is he counted one of the seven people who has to get an aliyah? Says the Gemara, Hunav Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Charama Oyla, that he is counted one of those seven people, but Charama in Oyla, he's not counted. Mandama Oyla, Dakari, we see that he's reading in the Torah, so why should he be different than anyone else getting an aliyah? Mandama in Oyla, why is he not counted as one of the seven people who have to get an aliyah? Kira'ula, Dam Ula, Neima Hamafta Benavi, Tsarch Shikra B'Tayra Tchila. Why is the person who gets Haftaira have to also read from the Taira? Nekfai Taira. It's Al Kavra Taira.
The kivin mishum kavat tairahu. The only reason we're giving him aliyah from the chumash, from the Torah, is that we should not have the kavat tairah demeaned. That he's only reading Navi, not reading Torah, as if we're saying the Navi is equal to Torah. So it's the only reason he's reading from the Torah is for that reason. That's why leminyan alay salik. He's not counted as one of the seven people that are mechuyif to get an aliyah. Neisve asked the Gemara, says in a brisa, hamafta benavi, who person who gets in the haftira, la yifchais mi esrim ve'echad psukim, should not read less than 21 psukim from the navi, keneged shiva shakaru, corresponding to the seven people who read from the Torah. And like we explained yesterday, every aliyah has to be a minimal of 3 psukim. 7 times 3 equal 21. So just like we have to read 21 psukim from the Chumash, we should read 21 psukim from the Navi. V'mi'isa asked the Gemara if we're saying that besides the 7 people who get aliyahs, besides those 7 people, the mafter also has to read from the Torah. So it's not 21 psukim. It's Esrim v'Avra Havet, 24. Another 3 psukim. Answers the Gemara, since, as we just explained, that the only reason the person who's getting mafter is reading from the Torah is only mishum kivin mishum kvay tairu. It's only to show honor to the Torah that it's not that would as important or more important than Navi. Connect the Nami Leiboy. We don't have to have psukim and Navi corresponding to his aliyah. Ask Taisus, why didn't the Gemara say a simpler answer? The 3 psukim that we read for Maftar are not 3 new psukim. The 3 psukim that were read already. What do? We finish the parasha, and then we reread for Maftar 3 psukim. So we're not going to have psukim and Navi corresponding to the same psukim twice. Why don't the Gemara give that teretz? So Tosfos says that the way they read the Torah in those days was different than we read the Torah nowadays. We read the Torah, we finish the parasha, say Kaddish, and then we read whatever mafter is, 3, 4, whatever psukim it is. Taisha says in those days, they didn't have kaddish between mafter and the other people who got aliyahs. So since they didn't have the kaddish in between, the person who got mafter did not reread psukim that were read already. Rather, he read psukim that were not read. And Taisha says we find this concept that they sort of changed the nusach atfilah. He says we see it by Ma'ariv. In those times, we finished the Birchas Krishma after Krishma with Shomer Amo Yisrael Ad, with Ashkiveinu, and went straight to Shemon Esrei. We say, Taisus says, Baruch Hashem Lo'olam Amen V'Amen, and Yiru Einenu. So we see, says Taisus, that they made these changes, and that's why what is happening when we read the Torah isn't identical to what happened when they do. Taisus says, a few interesting points Taisus makes here. Taisus says, the Lahalocha, we really feel that the maftir is the person who gets the 3 is one of the people who gets an aliyah. We see it on every fast day. By fast day, by mincha, the person who gets shlishi is maftir. He's not a fourth person. Yet Taisu says on Shab during the week where we're not supposed to add aliyahs, so we go with the ikar hadin, and the ikar hadin is that the person who gets the maftir is not a different aliyah. But on Shabbos, as we've been learning even in today's shiur, where we can add aliyahs, to avoid any shilas, we don't have mafta be one of the Zion kruim, we have mafta being a separate aliyah. Taisus asks another question. Taisus says, just like on every yontif, the mafter speaks about the kabbonis that were brought on that yontif, why on Shabbos, every Shabbos, don't we read about the kabbonis that are brought on Shabbos? There's a parasha. We discussed that parasha just yesterday, over B'yoyim HaShabbos. So why don't we read over B'yoyim HaShabbos every Shabbos? So Taisus says, again, based on what we learned previously, since the minimal amount of an aliyah is 3 psukim, and the parasha of B'yoyim HaShabbos is only 2 psukim, so we don't read a parasha that's only 2 psukim long. Another teretz that's given is that the haftarah has to be similar to the mafter. If every week we're going to have the same mafter of B'yoyim HaShabbos, every week we're going to have the same haftarah, which which is not a situation that we want to have every week the same maftan aftira. That's why we don't read it every week. Beyond my Shabbos. Another terrorist that I saw is that the only time we have to read kabbonis on a day is when those kabbonis are brought for a kapara. The kabbonis that were brought on Shabbos were not brought for the purpose of kapara, and therefore we don't read the parasha kabbonis. Another teretz that the Rishonim give is the pasuk says that Elu Mayada Hashem Asher Tikra Oisam B'Mayadam, and the pasuk is teaching us that on Yontif we have to speak about the kabbonis and all the aspects of Yontif, but there is no such pasuk regarding Shabbos. That's why in Yontif there's an obligation to speak about the kabbonis of Yontif by Maftir, but not on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. We're saying that the minimal amount of psukim in a maft is 21 psukim. Ask the Gemara, the haftarah of a leisechem safu, it's in Yirmiyah. Do I have an esen v'chad? Doesn't have in the 21 psukim, v'yet karinan, we read it as a mafter. We just said a mafter has to have 21 psukim. Answers the Gemara, shani hasam v'salak in yonah. The parasha, it's a self-enclosed parasha, and that's why we read it. As we said, Tosfos teaches us, that's really the same for the Kriyas HaTorah on Purim. On Purim we read a parasha that only has 9 psukim. We learned that the minimal amount has to be 10 psukim, but we explained, that's a self-enclosed parasha. Similarly here, ask the Gemara, the Hechad Le'Solik in Yonaloi, where it's not a self-enclosed parasha, is the halacha that has to be at least 21 psukim. Ask the Gemara, Vam Rav Shmuel bar Abba, Zimnan Sagin, have a Kaim Nekamed Rav Yochanan. Many times I was standing by Rav Yochanan, Viki have a Karina Asar Psuki, and once we read 10 Psukim of Navi, Amulan of Siku. Stop here. So we see that they only read 10 Psukim, even if though it wasn't a self-enclosed parasha. Answers the Gemara, Makam Shesh Togam and Shani. There it's a place where there was somebody interpreting. Since he was interpreting, so like we explained, there's a concept of Tircha de Tzibura. So we're going to have a mafti, which is we're going to have a Ftari, which is 21 psukim long, and we're also going to have somebody saying the pshat in 21 psukim. It's going to be a long time. We don't want to have Tircha de Tzibura. And I saw a very nice pshat. The Gemara says, Zimnan Sagin have a Kamed Rav Yochanan. It happened many times. What does that have to say? It happened many times. The Gemara should have said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan teaches us that we have a Turgman, we don't have to have such a long mafter. So the Mefarshim explained what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that Rabbi Yochanan kept them repeating and repeating and repeating that we have to be careful about Tircha de Tzibura, Zimnan Sagir, many times. The Tanya of Tachlifa by Shmuel, Loi Shano, we only said that the Haftarah has to have at least 21 Psukim, El Makum Shein Turgman, where there's nobody interpreting the Psukim. Al-Makum Shesh Turgman, Paisik, after 10 Psukim we could stop, because it's like 21, because we read 21 Psukim from the Navi, 10 Psukim, I'm sorry, from the Navi, and then we interpret 10 Psukim, and some say we don't want to end with a Pasuk of Arab, we don't want to end off with Targum, so we repeat the last Pasuk, 10 plus 10 plus 1 equal 21. I saw a very interesting Machlokes Rishonim. We're saying here that the minimum amount of psukim in Haftarah is 21. Because corresponding to the 7 people who get aliyahs, each aliyah being 3 psukim. 7 times 3 equals 21. What's going to be halacha on Yontif? On Yontif we said that we only have to give 5 people aliyahs. So is the minimum Haftarah on Yontif 15 psukim, 5 times 3? That's how some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim say that although on Yontif we only call up 5 people to the Torah, but once we establish that the Haftarah on Shabbos is 21 Psukim, even on Yontif, which is a different amount of people getting Aliyahs, we still stick to the number of 21. Says the Mishnah, Ein Parson al Shema. Parson al Shema, the way Rashi explains it is as follows. Rashi says, let's say you have 10 people, didn't have a minyan. They daven b'yichidus. So since they daven b'yichidus, they didn't have Kedusha, they didn't have Baruch Hu. Now, they gather together and they realize that we didn't daven together, we didn't daven a minyan. So what they do is Prisa Shema. Somebody gets up and says Kaddish and Baruch Hu, and the first, the way most Rishonim explain, the first bracha of Birchas Krishma. Why did they say the first bracha of Birchas Krishma? Because if we're going to say Baruch Hu, and we're not going to say the first bracha of Krishma, what is the Baruch Hu referring to? So that's why we say the first bracha of Krishma, and that's why the word parson is very appropriate. Parson means to divide. Normally we have two brachas before Krishma. Here we're only having parson, half. Another pshat that I saw is that it's referring to the Kedusha of the Birchas Krishma. We know that in the morning before Shema we say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. And some Rishonim want to learn that that has to be said b'minyan. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is that we're not makpid to say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish of the Birchas Krishma b'minyan. Rashi seems to say that we have 10 people here who each of us did not daven b'minyan, and now come together, what do we do? Tosfos keeps on bringing down different shitas that say you don't necessarily need 10, maybe 7, maybe 6, maybe 5, maybe even 1 person who did not daven b'minyan, and now is in a place where there are other Jews, we could do personal Shema. But the Rishonim say that the person, preferably, who does do the parson, who does say the Baruch Hu, and does say the Kaddish, should be the person who didn't daven b'minyan. So even in Rashi's situation, let's say we have 10 people who didn't daven b'minyan, and we're going to do parson or Shema, it should be one of us 10 doing it, not asking someone who daven b'minyan already. I saw another pshat, what pshat parson or Shema? Someone could think, mistakenly, that I won't daven b'minyan, and then we'll get together, we'll do a shortcut. We'll do a Kaddish Baruch Hu, fine. Something about parson means half. You should realize that if you're doing it, this is not the right way. It's like something that's half-baked. It's only a prusa. It's not the right way. Then, Oymer Lefnei Teva, we don't have a Shlich Tzibur say Shmon Esrei. Then, Noisen Skapayim, we don't have Kahanim do Duchening. Then, Karim Betaira, we don't lane. Then, Maftirim Benavi, nor do we say Navi. And as the Rishonim explained, doesn't Navi go together with Torah? So why does the Mishnah separate it? So I say, Halach L'maisa. The Halach is like this. Let's say we begin reading from the Torah. We have a minyan. And people walk out. So the Halach is we finish the Kriyas HaTorah. But we don't start Navi. So that's what this teaches us. Ain't Karim B'Torah. We don't read the Torah unless we have a minyan. But once we have a minyan, even if the minyan disbands, we continue reading the Torah. But we don't start Navi unless we have a minyan for Navi. Then Isa Mamed Umayshif, they, when they had Levayas, they used to take the mita the Nifta was on and walk and stop 7 times. The reason they stopped 7 times, the Rishonim explained, is because Kehelis says Hevel Havolim, says 7 Hevels. So they stopped 7 times. We don't do this. Then Omer Birchas Avelim. Avelim, they used to have a special bracha that they used to say when they left the Beis HaKfaris and made the Shura for Nichem Avelim, or Tanchuma Avelim, or Birchas Chasanim. Birchas Chasanim is whether having a chuppah or Sheva brachas. Ve'ei Mezan B'Shem, when we say Zimun by Birchas Hamazon, but we want to be able to say Nevarach L'Alekeinu, we don't say it when there's Pachas Misara, less than 10 people. Or B'Kakos, if we're evaluating, assessing the property, the real estate owned by Hegdish, and we have to assess its value, we have to have Tisha, 9 people, and the 10th one is a Kayin. For Adam, and the same thing, if we're coming to assess the value of a person who's owned by Hegdish, we'll discuss this in the Gemara, we have to have Kiyotz Behen, 10 people, minimal 1 Kayin. Menani Mili, ask the Gemara, from where is the number 10 so significant? Amr b'chiv bar Abba Amr b'yochran, Dama k'ra, v'nekdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael, teaches us the pasuk, kol davar shebekdusha lo yehei pachas miyasara. Whenever we speak about davar shebekdusha, we have to have at least 10 people. Ask the Gemara, my mashma, how do we see that you have to have 10 people? The Tanya b'chiv, ask ye toich toich, we learn a gzera shava, k'siv hocha, v'nekdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael, v'k'siv hosam, and it says, by Kairach, Hibadlu Mitaycha Eda. So it says the word toich here and it says the word toich there. But how do I know how many people are in the Eda? The Ksiv. Vasya Eda Eda. Then we learn another Xerishava between the words Eda. The Ksiv Hasam. It says by the Meraglim, Ad Masail Eda Haroa Azois. How long will you, Moshe Rabbeinu says, will you listen to this bad group of people? How many people were there? Malahalon Asara. There were 10. Because there were 12 Meraglim. But Yeshua and Kalev were not together with the other Meraglim. They spoke favorably about Eretz Yisrael. So 12 minus 2 equal 10. Afkan, so we see that an Eid is 10. That's how we know the minion is 10. So sort of Klaus Magareba makes an interesting observation. He says, minion, 10 people, is one of the most fundamental concepts in halacha. The Mishnah just gave us a whole list of situations where we're makpid to do with minion. And who do we learn it from? Either from a combination of Kairach and the Meraglim. We couldn't find any better role models. Says the Klaus Magareba, the lesson of this Gemara is that a Jew is always a Jew. And when you have 10 Jews, no matter who they are, you have a minion. And you have the Shekhinah there. So you would think, says the Rebbe, if we don't learn it this way, it's not just that you have to have 10 Jews. You have to have 10 Jews that are, I don't know what, that learn the Daf Yomi every day. Teaches us the Gemara, you could have 10 Jews that are from Kairach and 10 Meraglim, but they're 10 Jews. Continues the Gemara. Then Oysim Maimon of Mishka, Pach Misara. Says the Gemara, Kivin the Baal of Maimon, since as part of the Nusach that was said by Maimon of Moshev, we said, Imdu, Yukarim, Imdu, get up Yukarim, and we said, Shiva Yukarim Shavu, so we refer to them as Yukarim, a group of worthy people, but Masar Lavarukar. You can't call them Yukarim if you don't have 10 people. Then I'm Birchas Aveilim or Birchas Chasanim. My Birchas Aveilim, what is exactly Birchas Aveilim? Says the Gemara, Birchas Ruchava. When they came back from the Levaya, they used to gather in the center of the town and give the Aveilim the Sudas Avra and make a Bracha. Dom Rav Yitzchak Amrav Yoichran. Birchas Aveilim Besara, we have to have 10 people. The Ein Aveilim Min Aminyan. And Aveilim are not part of the group. Birchas Chasanim Min Asara, as we learned in the Mishnah, we have to have 10 people by Chuppah, 10 people by Shev Brachas, but Chasanim could be part of the 10 people. Why? Why is there a difference between Aveilim and Chasanim? Because by the Aveilim, we say to them, we're consoling you. The Aveilim don't say it to themselves, we're saying it to them. So they can't be part of the group. The bracha that we make by chasanim is because we're expressing our simcha. There's a chasana, and we're expressing our simcha, and we're expressing thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the chasan, hopefully, is also happy. So that's why he could be part of the group. Vei mezamnen ala mozen b'shem pachs mi'asara. To say alokeinu by benching, we have to have at least 10 people. Says the Gemara, kimen d'boi l'meima nevarach l'alokeinu. Since we're going to be mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Levarach L'Alkeinu, Batsam Asar L'Avarach Ara. It's not respectful to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name if we don't have 10 people. And we learned in the Mishnah, V'Kakaz Tishav V'Kayin V'Adam K'yotz Behen. When we evaluate Hegdish real estate, what its value is, we have to have 10 people and at least one Kayin. Menon Emili, Amishmu, Asar Kahanim K'suvim V'Parsha. The Torah says the word Kahanim 10 times. So say 10 times. We should need 10 kahanim. We only need one kayin. Says the Gemara, Chad l'kufei. So the first time the Torah uses the word kayin, it comes to teach us that we have to have a kayin. The other 9 are a concept of miyat achamiyat. When the Torah comes to exclude something after some another exclusionary word, ei miyat achamiyat el rabbis. So we say, tish yisraelim v'chad kayin. Ask the Gemara if we're going to follow that line of reasoning, because let's understand. First the Torah says only a Kohen. Then the Torah says Kohen again. Miyad Achamiyad is Larabbis, it could be Yisrael. Then the third time the Torah says a Kohen, it has to be a Kohen. The fourth time it's a Miyad Achamiyad, it could be Yisrael. And we keep on going that way, we won't have 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kohen, we'll rather have 5 Kahanim and 5 Yisraelim. So why is there a halacha that we have 9 Yisraelim and 1? So the Gemara says, Kasha. The Gemara doesn't answer that question. Taisus asks a different question. Taisus says that we know that we can never have a Bezdin Shokel. We can never have a Bezdin with an even amount of people. So how can we have 10 people? It's an even number. So I saw two Terutzim. One Terutz is that since the Torah specifically says here 10, so if the Torah specifically says that we could use 10, then we have 10. Another Terutz that I saw, the Sfasemis seems to say, that even though there are 10 people who give the final evaluation, it's really 3 of those 10 that do the actual evaluation and assessment, and it's the other 7 that just ratify what they say. So 3 people is an odd number. And the same thing is a person who's hegdish, and we want to evaluate his value. Ask the Gemara, Adam Kaddish, could a person become Kaddish? Answers the Gemara, Amr Avuah, Ba'omid Demeilai. When a person said that he's donating to the Beis Hamikdash whatever he's worth, the Tanya, Ha'omid Demeilai, whoever says, I'm giving my value to Hegdish, Shamra Seke Evid. We evaluate him, were he to be sold for a slave, what would be his price? The Evid, we know, is Iskish Lakakos. Throughout Halacha, a servant is compared to real estate. The Ksiv, although Taisus makes an interesting observation. Taisus says this halacha, that when we evaluate a person, we have to have 10 people, is talking about an Eved Ivri. This pasuk that's comparing Avodim to Karka is not a pasuk by Eved Ivri. It's a pasuk by Eved Kanani. For Eved Kanani, the halacha, the Rishonim say, is you don't need 10 people to do the evaluation, 3 people is enough.
When are you going to use the Cosmic Revolution? Are you going to use it within a week?